Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're in 1 Samuel 22, continuing to look at the life of David. And in the previous episode, we just found out that Saul found out where David was and what was going on. And Saul was accusing his servants of being against him, conspiring against him, holding back things from him, not telling him that his son had entered into a covenant relationship with David, the son of Jesse. That's how Saul referred to him, the son of Jesse, all the way through. So in verse 9, we saw that Doeg, the Edomite, was standing there. Remember Doeg? And he told Saul, yeah, I saw this. David was there with Ahimelech. Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for him. He gave him provisions and gave him the sword. So we pick it up, verse 11. Then the king sent someone to summon Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub. Not sure how you say that. Ahitub. Anyway, and all his father's household. And so not just Ahimelech, the priest, but all the father's household, the priests who were in Nob, and all of them came to the king. So it's all the priests. It's the entire gang that was summoned. Verse 12. Saul said, "Listen now, son of Ahitub." And he answered, "Here I am, my lord." Now, you know, I was thinking about this. Remember how Ahimelech responded when David showed up alone? You know, he was very frightful. He was sort of scared about what's happening. Makes you wonder what's going on here. You know, at first I'm thinking he must be terrified because the king has summoned you with everybody, you know, and you're thinking, what's happening? What's going on? But when you see how he responds here in just a moment, there was a, I want you to note the boldness, okay? So he wasn't just entirely paralyzed with fright, though he had to know that something was up. So now he responds to the king as you should. "I am here, my lord." Verse 13. Saul said to him, "Why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me in that you have given him bread and a sword and have inquired of God for him so that he would rise up against me by lying in ambush as it is this day?" So Saul reiterates the same phraseology that we saw when he was accusing his servants. So now he's saying, "I know that you are conspiring with David. I know that you're doing this. You gave him bread, you gave him a sword, you inquired of God, and I know that he is setting up an ambush for me right now. He's lying in an ambush for me at this very day." So you see the mind of Saul. Verse 14, "Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, 'And who among your servants is as faithful as David? Even the king's son-in-law, who is captain over your guard and is honored in your house.'" Now, let me tell you this. There was a boldness right here from Ahimelech to inquire in this way, to ask this series of questions in one question. He asked the king, he says, "King, you know, there's nobody more faithful than David among your servants. He's your son-in-law. He's the captain of your guard. he's the captain of the ones that guard your very life. And he's honored in your house. Is there any more faithful a servant than David?" So Ahimelech begins in responding in this way. But then he continues. Verse 15, he says this, "Did I just begin to inquire of God for him today? Far be it from me." So he's saying, hey, I just didn't start today at this one instance right here to inquire of God for him. This has been a pattern and practice of behavior, apparently. This is our relationship. And then he says this, "Do not let the king impute anything to his servant or to any of the household of my father, for your servant knows nothing at all of this whole affair." And he didn't. So he's saying to the king, "Hey, king, don't impute anything to us." In other words, "Hey, king, you're thinking crazy. King, you're creating entire scenarios that are not true here. Don't impute anything to your servant, me, or to any of the household here, the father, all of us. Don't impute anything, because we don't know anything of this whole affair." Verse 16, "But the king said, 'You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's household. So the king wasn't having anything to do with it. He didn't care. He was going to kill them. And you can see the evil that was just continuing to eat away at King Saul. Verse 17. And the king said to the guards who were attending him, "Turn around and put the priest of the Lord to death, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew he was fleeing and did not reveal it to me." So there's the whole basics. There's the whole foundation for what's going on. He commands his guards to do that. Watch this. But the servants of the king were not willing to put forth their hands to attack the priest of the Lord. Some real serious principles here. The king had the power and authority to order this. And they were, as servants of the king, supposed to do what the king told them to do. But they said no. They refused to do it. There is a time when you refuse to do, okay? And believers have a really hard time with that in the Western church today, because we've been taught and we've been told, oh, well, if you're a believer, you know, Romans 13, you do what the powers and authority tell you to do. That's not what Romans 13 is about, okay? No, you do not. You do what is right. You do what is correct in the eyes of the Lord. And the servants weren't willing to do it. They wouldn't do it. You can imagine how furious that made the king. So then in verse 18, the king said to Doeg, "You turn around and attack the priest." Now remember, we saw Doeg when David was with him at Ahimelech. And Doeg was an Edomite. Okay, he's recalled that repeatedly, the Edomite. He wasn't of Israel. Okay. And so was he a prisoner of war? He might have been captured because Saul fought the Edomites. But he had worked his way up, and Doeg was the chief shepherd. He was over the flocks. He's over the people that shepherd the flocks. And so now the king tells his shepherd, not his guards, not his servants, the shepherd, to turn and attack the priest. So Doeg did. He turned around and attacked the priest, and he killed that day 85 men who wore the linen ephod. He killed 85 of them. And you think, well, why did they not resist? Why did they put up a fight? We're not told. We know they weren't armed. Was Doeg there? Was he the only one that did this? Or were there some of his men that were also with him? We're not told. But watch what happens next. Verse 19. And he struck Nob, the city of the priest, with the edge of the sword. Both men and women, children and infants, also oxen, donkeys, and sheep, he struck with the edge of the sword. So you see the depth of the evil that was occurring here. King looks at Doeg, kill the priest. He kills the priest, but Doeg doesn't stop there. Did he not stop there because Saul told him not to stop there? Or did he think it would be a good thing just to absolutely annihilate the city from which Doeg came from to ingratiate himself to the king? Nah, we don't know. We're not told. But we are told that the city of the priest was struck down. Not only the priest, but both other men, the women, the children, the infants, the oxen, the donkeys, the sheep, everything was killed. Tell you what, that gives you some insight to the evil that the enemy will bring forth upon the people of the Lord. Don't think we're going to be spared that. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.